Is God calling you to ministry? It's time to multiply your capacity for ministry with an affordable degree. The Bachelor of Arts in Christian Ministry at Wesley Biblical Seminary is the degree for you. When God called you to ministry, He called you to preparation. This degree is the education that you need to put all the pieces together for an amazing life of ministry. You will graduate with a confidence for ministry that is backed up by your competence in the scriptures, theology, and ministry. Come learn with a trusted seminary that will help you become a faithful leader. Learn more at wbs.edu.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Hey, what do you do when everything in life seems to be going wrong? What do you do when life is literally in the pit? Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here along with my wife, Debbie. And we want to talk about that subject when life is the pits, when everything is bad, when it feels like, no matter what you do, no matter where you turn, you're just stuck and you can't get out and you're in a deep, dark hole and it seems like God's a million miles away. And life is just hard, 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 and you don't see a good future. What do you do in that situation? Well, David said this, I waited patiently for the Lord. This is Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. How blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust and has not turned aside to the proud or to those who lapse into falsehood. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders which you have done and your thoughts toward us. There is none to compare with you. If I would declare and speak of them, they would be too numerous to count. Debbie, when life is the pits, I know you spoke on Psalm 40, you and Rochelle Schroeder, to our ladies just a couple of weeks ago, and I think everybody can relate to life at times being in a deep, dark pit.
Right, and you know, it just goes back to Solomon's words. It's like, you know, life under the sun, it's full of trouble, you know, and just because we're a believer doesn't mean that we are exempt from going through difficult times. And we all face them. And if, you know, the saying is always, if you're not currently in a storm of difficulty, you've just come out of one or one is headed your way. And that is just the reality of life under the sun. And as a believer, we have a hope that other people don't have. So in theory, we should respond differently when difficulties come our way. I don't know that that is always the case, but we do have a hope that the unbeliever does not have. And so as we looked at the life of David in this psalm, it was just such an encouragement to us as we kind of went through it and talked through it, because David himself had a lot of difficulties in his lifetime. And he had enemies that were constantly chasing after him. He had King Saul, who was kind of a nurturer to him. Then all of a sudden he turns on him, and, you know, he had the trouble with his children. He had the debacle with Bathsheba. I mean, he had a lot of things. He had a lot of trouble with his kids, a whole lot of trouble with his kids. And it's just interesting to see that, okay, he went through difficult times, yet he wrote the Psalms of praise through that heart of difficulty, because it was in those times that he learned so much. And I think that can be true for us as well.
Well, you think about people who actually were in a pit. David was talking about being in a pit, you know, figuratively.
Right.
Joseph was put into a pit. His brothers put him in a pit. And then when Potiphar lied about him, then he was put into the dungeon, which was a pit. Paul was put into a pit. Jeremiah, Paul's prison, his last imprisonment, the Mamertine prison, is basically a hole in the ground. It's an awful place. And Jeremiah was put into the pit, let down into a dry well, and it was awful in there. But David, he experienced difficulties. He was in the cave of Adullam, and things were very, very hard. You know, he didn't understand why Saul was trying to kill him. Mm-hmm. It didn't make sense to him. He was not trying to usurp Saul, but Saul was threatened by him. Saul was jealous. And so David did spend a good number of years on the run. Mm-hmm. Saul, he says in one psalm, there's not a step between me and death. Mm-hmm. So things were very, very hard. But he gives us, as one pastor called this psalm, how to get up when you're down. He's down in the psalm because he's in the pit of destruction, in the miry clay, sinking in the mud. But the Lord is going to bring him out. Mm-hmm. And the big thing he says is, I waited patiently for the Lord.
That is so hard, isn't it?
Yeah,
the patiently part.
Right off the bat. Hey, right. I'm in this pit and I am waiting for the Lord to incline to me and to hear my cry.
Well, that's an area, though, that he had a lot of practice being patient, because, you know, he was anointed to be king when he was very young, but he didn't actually become king for 15 years. And so he had a lot of time in the classroom learning patience. And, you know, I was talking to the ladies when we went through this psalm, and it's like, I have learned in my life, you don't ever want to pray for patience, because when you do, sure enough, God sends all these different things in your life that you're going to have to exercise patience in. Uh-huh. You know, because it can just be very, very difficult to be patient. And I thought about that too, because, you know, so often we can pray for something, we can ask God to rescue us, we can ask God for healing, we can ask God to solve this problem, solve this relationship, get us out of this situation, whatever it may be. And we're all in with that initial prayer. But as time lapses and he doesn't just immediately come with an answer and immediately solve our problems, we can tend to get frustrated, and we can tend to start blaming God. Well, you know, if you're all powerful, why aren't you doing this? We kind of question his omniscience over the whole situation, and it can be really easy for us to lose hope. And I love the fact that David, as he is patiently waiting for the Lord, he didn't lose hope and stay hopeless. He might have lost hope, but then he would get it back, you know. And I think that was a great encouragement.
Well, I what I love about the Psalms, this psalm is a great one for sure, but David is very honest in the Psalms.
Very, very transparent.
Yeah, and he lets his emotions be known, and he doesn't have a problem saying, God, where are you? How come I don't see you? I'm in trouble, and it seems like you hide your face from me when I'm in trouble. Now, God doesn't do that, but it can feel like that. Mm-hmm. And so David would just put a voice to those feelings and say, God, I'm in trouble here, and I need you. And, if you don't come through, I'm sunk. But then he tends to always end those psalms with a voice of praise. Yet I will trust in my God, and he will deliver me. And I know that. And so he gives voice to the feelings, and then he goes back to the anchor. Mm-hmm. This is what I know. Mm-hmm. And so I waited patiently for the Lord, and I'm waiting and waiting and waiting, and I'm waiting with expectation, mm-hmm. because God has promises in his word that he will call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. And so as you're waiting, just know this, he will incline his ear to you. He will hear your cry, and he will respond in his time, not in your time. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your cares on him because he cares for you. And that he may exalt you at the proper time. We don't know when that is. Mm-hmm. He does.
Right.
You're not God. I'm not God. God is God. We tend to, sadly, think that we know more than God. Lord, you need to come now. You need to do this. You know, it's like Martha telling Jesus, Lord, do you not care that my sister Mary has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me. This is what you should be doing, Jesus, and you're not doing it. Bad plan anytime you start giving God directions and directives.
Well, and I love, you know, just like you said, Jeff, that he went from this desolate pit, and then he talks about the fact that, okay, I was there in this almost like this quicksand kind of situation. And if you've ever watched anyone in quicksand, the more they struggle, the faster they sink.
Right.
When they just relax, the sinking is slower. But he takes him from that situation and he says, hey, you've set my feet on a rock, making my steps secure. So that security was there. He was anchored there. And there was a great quote that I read that said that now David could walk with an assured confidence, knowing that he was being held by a divine hand.
Mm.
And, you know, that's where we have to go back to. And that's, as a believer, that's where our hope is, that we are not just aimlessly wandering through life with no purpose, with no plan, with no direction, just on our own, you know, to just make it through. But God does have a plan for us. And just like when you talked about the life of Joseph, as well as just tying that in with Romans 8:28, God works all the things in our lives for our good.
Mm-hmm.
The good, the bad, all of it. He works it all together for our good. And then I love this next verse where he says he put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise, because God had done a new work in him.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't just that he was looking for yesterday's responses from God. He had a new song. He had a new reason to rejoice. And he was not bitter. He wasn't angry. He wasn't staying stuck in despair, because God had restored in him a new energy. He had been revived. He had been refreshed. And because of that, he had a new song in his heart. And I love it when God does such a great work in our lives, because I've had that happen in my own life several times. And I think probably most of our listeners have experienced something similar to this, where you've gone through a very difficult season and you've just, you know, just dug deep into the Lord, and he's ministered to you in such a special way that oftentimes he really can only do in our hardest times, because that's when we're drawing the closest to him. But when it's all over, we are forever changed because of the things we've learned in that difficult time period. And I know in my life, it's like, okay, I look back on that and I wouldn't want to have to go through it again,
right.
But I wouldn't trade it for anything, because of the closeness I developed with the Lord, the things I learned, the ways that I grew in my relationship with him, that I grew stronger in my faith. And I wouldn't want to undo any of those things, but man, I wouldn't want to have to walk through all that again.
Well, you know, the Bible talks about Philippians 3, the fellowship of his sufferings. And the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. The missionary Darlene Dibler talked about being in that prisoner of war camp and being beaten every day and just horrible things that happened to her. And she said, you know, but the Lord was so near to me.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, so on one hand, it was horrible. And on the other hand, it was so precious and special. Now, she wouldn't have wanted to go through that again. But she says, I do long for those times, those close times with the Lord, because when everything is going good, when you're pulled out of the pit, I think this is true for all of us, we don't depend on the Lord like we did when we were in the pit. Because when you are in a dire situation, your eyes are fixed on Jesus, you're trusting in him with all your heart, and when you're taken out of that dire situation and the pressure's off, then the tendency for all of us is to, yeah, we still trust, but not with that fervency. Our prayers don't have the fervency they had when you were facing what looked like certain death.
Well, and he talks in verse 5 about, Lord, my God, you have done many things, your wondrous works and your plans for us, none can compare with you. And so as David reflected back over his life, he saw, hey, man, God's works are great, and his timing and his plan for my life is perfect. Even when I am thinking, hurry up and answer me, hurry up, his timing is always perfect. He's never in a rush. He's never late.
Right. So as Peter says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. The Lord will answer. He will raise you up at the proper time. casting all your cares, all your worries, all your anxieties upon Him. Why? Because He cares for you. Literally, it matters to Him, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, it matters to Him concerning you. He cares about you. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, along with my wife, Debbie, and we're talking about what to do when life is the pits. So we are up against a break, but we'll be back in 3 minutes. Don't go away. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. I'm sitting across the table from my wife, Debbie, and she's got a brand new hairdo. She had 9-10 inches cut off?
About 9.5.
9.5 inches,
yes.
Cut off for some kind of Locks of Love group.
Well, I donated my hair to this organization called Kids with Hair Loss. So they are either experiencing chemotherapy and have lost hair, they have alopecia, they have been in some kind of accident that has caused them to lose hair or whatever, but they, this organization makes wigs for kids.
Yeah.
So I donated to them.
So you have the short, sassy look.
There we go.
And you like it.
I do.
It looks great.
Thank you. That's very kind.
That's the right answer.
That is the right answer because it cannot be undone at this juncture. Yes, that's the right answer.
All right. No, she does. She looks amazing. So we are talking about Psalm 40. What do you do when life is the pits? When you find yourself just in this difficult situation in life, you know, when you, if you think about if somebody puts you down in a pit, down in a well, so to speak, and it's dark down there and it's muddy down there. You know, even a dry well will have some mud in the base of it. And so that's kind of what David was talking about with his life. He said, I'm down in this hole. My feet are stuck in the mud. I can't get out. I can't see forward. I can't really move anywhere. And it just seems like, what am I going to do? Now, the only thing you can do in a pit is look up. You look up to the Lord and you cry out to Him, you wait for Him, and as David said, He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, He set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm, and not only that, He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. And God is using this, Debbie, as you said in the last segment, for a purpose. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. That gives you a testimony to share. That I prayed to the Lord, I set my eyes on Him, I trusted Him, even when everything looked bleak and black and hopeless, and this is what God did. He brought me up, He stood me up, He tuned me up, He put a song in my heart, and I can praise Him for His delivering power. But now the psalm goes on from there.
Right, and he talks about, he goes into the fact, if we're just going to try and sum it up, that it's like, I can do all these things for the Lord. I can take sacrifices. I can take offerings to the Lord. And in his time period, those were acceptable ways of worshiping the Lord, right? I mean, so David actually did do those things.
Right.
But he recognized that wasn't ultimately the paramount thing that God wanted from him, because what God wanted from him was his heart. And so it's like, okay, David, you can do these outward things, which at this time was a requirement. I mean, he was required to do those things, mm-hmm. but it was more than that. It went deeper than that. And it went into the fact that, you know, you have got to not just have an outward change in your behavior, you've got to have an inward change of your heart. And I think it's because of that inward change of the heart that he did get the new song. That heart change is what brought about that new song in his heart. And, you know, we see that a lot in counseling, where it's like people want quick fixes. They just right. they just want their situation to be different. The outward things, they just want those to get in line and those to be different and those to be more comfortable. But that's a temporary solution at best mm-hmm. to the situation, because any type of true change that you're going to have in your heart or in your life starts in your heart. It's an inside job. And when that inside gets changed, then that comes out and displays itself in outward things.
Yeah, Christianity and really everything about the Lord is heart. We are to love him with all our heart. God wants, give me your heart, my son, and let your eyes delight in my ways. Jesus had problems with religious leaders because nothing was heart. Everything was external. And that's why he says in Psalm 40, verse 6, sacrifice and meal offering you have not desired. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Well, God, those things don't matter if the heart's not right. Now, when the heart's right, those things do matter. Mm-hmm. And so what the Pharisees did, they flipped everything to external. Mm-hmm. And Jesus said, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. And so David had to have a heart change. And when your heart changes, then those external things that you do, you're doing them from a heart of love and reverence and awe and gratitude. And then they mean something.
Right. And because of that heart change that he experiences, he goes through in verse 10 and 9 and 10, and he talks about, hey, I didn't keep my mouth shut. I did not hide your righteousness in my heart. I spoke about your faithfulness and salvation. I did not conceal your constant love and truth from the great assembly. So when a real heart change has taken place, it cannot help but bubble over. Mm-hmm. You know, people around you see the fruit on the tree of a life change. And I think that's just an important thing for us to remember, because if God has truly done a transformational work in our lives, it shows not only in our actions, but it shows in the things that come out of our mouth.
Mm-hmm. Well, you talked about people just wanting a quick fix. So lots of people have, hey, my life is the pits right now. I just want God to fix it. I want him to change it. It's kind of like the unrepentant thief on the cross. He said to Jesus, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. He wanted to be saved from where he was, not from who he was. Now, the repentant thief, he never asked to be taken off the cross. He just said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He wanted to be saved from who he was. And until we get it down to that heart level, Lord, I want my heart to be right with you. Anything that you do circumstantially, that's secondary to my heart being right with you. And, you know, the song lyric says, when you're in a storm, you know, sometimes he calms the storm and sometimes he calms his child. And so we have to be more concerned about God calming us in the internal, and so that I would find my satisfaction in Jesus versus just my circumstances. Because circumstances are up and down, they're this way, they're that way, they blow with the wind. And but we can have a joy in the Lord that overcomes all circumstances. That's what Paul said in Philippians 4:13. That gets misquoted often, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He didn't say that means I can kick a 60-yard field goal. He says that I can handle any situation that I find myself in, good times, bad times, in between times. I can be content in the Lord because he's the one who is my source of strength, and he's the one who's supplying all the grace I need.
You know, I think I was just thinking about your mom when you were talking about that. Jeff's mom is just the sweetest person probably on the planet. I mean, she's just genuinely, to her core, just such a sweet person. Mm-hmm. Gentle and just so loving and so sweet. And so she's 95 now, and she told us months back, she said, you know, I can't see and I can't hear and I can't really walk, but other than that, I don't have anything to complain about. And, you know, and not that she doesn't have some discouraging days, because it would, sure. It, of course she does, right? But overall, she stays pretty positive. Uh-huh. And I just thought about that in terms of just, you know, having joy in the midst of a situation where she could be just grumpy and hard to be around. And she has those moments, you know, because
sure,
she's human.
Sure, everybody does, yeah.
But overall, she chooses to be joyful and to be positive. And it is just such an encouragement to me as I look at her life.
Well, you know, I have a friend of mine whose life is in the pits, and he's been facing some difficulties, loss of loved ones and physical problems. And he had to just get honest with the fact that he's angry at God. Mm-hmm. And so maybe you're listening and you say, you know, you don't understand why things are happening the way they're happening to you, and things outside of your control have come upon you. It's easy to get angry with God. And so when you're angry with God, you need to be honest and say, Lord, I know this is wrong, but I'm angry. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to keep having these feelings. And so Psalm 62, verse 8, one of my favorite psalms, trust in him at all times, O people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. And so if there's anger there in your heart, pour it out before the Lord and say, Lord, I know this is wrong, but I'm just frustrated. I'm mad at you. I don't understand why you haven't answered my prayer. I don't understand why my loved one died. I don't understand why my spouse got cancer. I don't understand why my marriage dissolved. I don't understand why my daughter-in-law has taken the grandkids and I can't see them. Whatever it might be, you pour out your heart to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to trust you and I want to wait for you. And I do want you to change my circumstances, but more than change my circumstances, I want you to change me so that I can find my joy in Jesus.
Well, and I love towards the end of the psalm where David said, Lord, do not withhold your compassion from me. Your constant love and your truth will always guard me. And I think that's so important for us to remember, regardless of how we may be feeling, that those things are unchangeable. God's love for us, his compassion towards us, his mercy, his grace. You know, we're reminded, Mr. Bible, you can correct me on this, but it's in Lamentations, that his mercies are new every morning.
Yeah.
Give us the reference, because I know you're going to know it.
Lamentations 3. There's, verse 25, I think.
Okay. I just know it's in Lamentations. But it's so important for us to remember that, because life does get hard. We do have difficult days. And just because life gets hard doesn't mean that God has changed. And so we have to make sure, we've talked about this so often, Jeff, we have to make sure that we are looking through the proper lens at the situation. And that is that God is always good and he loves us. And that can be extremely difficult in hard times, because your emotions are so far removed from that, mm-hmm. or they can be, where you can think, well, hold on, you know, if God is really good, why is this happening to me? If he really loves me, why is he allowing this to happen to me? And so it goes back to the fact that we have to have that solid foundation, that firm rock to be anchored to, that we know despite circumstances, despite feelings, despite emotions, that we go back to the truth of the reality that God loves us and he's a good God.
Right. Right. Lamentations 3:23 is two verses.
Oh, my soul. I'm so disappointed that you were off those two verses.
So as you were saying that, because I'm preaching on Gideon Sunday in Judges chapter 6, and when the Lord comes to Gideon, think times are terrible, and Gideon is actually in a wine press threshing wheat. and that's not where you do it. You know, if anybody knows anything about wheat, you would take the, you'd go up to a high place, you'd take the bundle of wheat, throw it up in the air so the wind would blow the chaff away and down falls.
But he's scaled.
The heavier wheat. Yeah, well, because the Midianites are stealing all their stuff.
Right.
So he's threshing wheat in a hole. And the Lord comes to him and says, "The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior." And this is exactly what you said, you know, what people say to the Lord. "Oh, my Lord," Gideon says, "if the Lord is with us, then why has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." Well, the Lord hadn't abandoned them. The Lord had sold them. They were in time out, so to speak, because they were worshiping the Baals. But God hadn't said, "I'm done with you." And listen, the great verse in the book of Hebrews, "He will never leave us, nor will he ever forsake us." Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. And so as believers, hey, life might be really hard for you right now, but just know if you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he will never, no, never, ever leave you nor forsake you. He's not going to abandon you. You can trust him. He is there with you. Once the Lord comes into your life, he comes in forever. As when Ron Dunn used to say, your heart is not a hotel with checkout time at 12 noon. And the Lord will be with you. Now, we can get away from the Lord, and that happens to all of us, but we can also get right with the Lord. And as the book of Acts says, that we can have times of refreshing. Repent, therefore, and return, Acts 3:19, in order that your sins may be wiped away, so that times of refreshing can come from the presence of the Lord. And maybe that's what you need today. You need to just repent and return. You need to pour out your heart to him. You need to let God know about all the frustration that's in your heart, all the bewilderment that's in your heart, and the anger that's there because you're hurting and you feel like God's a million miles away, and say, "Lord, I don't want to be like this anymore. I want you to do a fresh work in me. And yes, I want you to change my circumstances, but more importantly, I want you to change me and change my heart."
Well, because, you know, this wasn't the only trouble that David had in life when he was running from Saul.
No.
He continued to have difficulties. And so, you know, the lessons that he learned when he was in exile helped him with all his future issues, but he still had future issues. And that's an encouragement too, to just know, okay, he made it through, he learned a lot, but he continued to have difficulties and he learned from those things. And he developed a pattern of turning to the Lord in those difficulties.
Right.
Not pulling away from the Lord, but leaning into the Lord.
You press in.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things you learn when you study the life of Moses is when difficulties would come, his immediate response was to fall on his face before the Lord. He would turn to prayer. He would turn to God. "God, this is the situation. I need you." And we need to learn how to do that too. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here along with my beautiful wife, Debbie. And we're talking about what to do when life is the pits from Psalm 40, a great psalm. If you haven't read it in a while, I encourage you to read it today. And we are up against a break. That music means that the break is coming. And so when we come back from the break, we're going to open the phone lines and take your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, maybe your life is in the pits right now, and you want to just express that, and God hears, and God knows, and God cares, and we would hope to speak a word of encouragement to you. But give us a call after the break, and we'll talk about things.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email Pastor Jeff at fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. Pastor Jeff and Debbie here, and we're talking about what to do when life is the pits. David had difficulties in life, and Psalm 40 really hits a difficult time in his life where he felt like he was in the pit of destruction, sinking in the miry clay, and he had to wait on the Lord. One of the things that we said, Debbie, at the top, it's hard to wait on the Lord, but he starts off the psalm by saying, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he heard my cry. Well, we're taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We would love to hear from you. And if you have a question, a comment, a brief testimony of how God lifted you out of the pit, we'd love to hear that. We can't go too long so we can get all the calls, but give us a call, 888-589-8840, and we'll talk.
I was going to say something because I think one of the things, I was thinking about this over the break, I think one of the things that is so encouraging with David is that he didn't stay self-focused. He talks about how he feels, but he always turns it back to magnifying the Lord and the focus being on the Lord. And you know, if you think about something, when you look at something under a magnifying glass, it isn't that the object actually has grown. The object stays the same, but it's your perception of it that changes, right? Because the lens magnifies things. And that's what he did with the Lord. The Lord was unchanging, but how he viewed the Lord, that's what changed. And he talks in the last verse in verse 17, where it's like, hey, I am oppressed, I am needy, but God, you are my helper and my deliverer. So he didn't stay inwardly focused.
Right.
And I think that's a good message for all of us, because our natural human tendency is to stay in the woe is me category.
Yeah, and you magnify the problems and you minimize the size of God, where you need to do the opposite.
Right.
You need to magnify the size of God, and then your problems start to be put into perspective. This is a pimple on a flea compared to God. God is able. Well, we have Brenda on the line from Alabama. Brenda, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Well, good morning, brother and sister. I appreciate both of you so very much. Thank you for all that you do.
Thank you. Go ahead.
I just wanted to share briefly, if I may. I had to make a sudden move within 3 weeks from Ohio to Alabama, leaving behind my eldest daughter and her husband and grandkids. I lost my home. I lost my car. I lost my job, my income. And a friend just invited me to move to Alabama. She said, just to find peace with God. So I'm 13 hours from all three of my kids. Yet God has healed my heart, and he's renewed my strength. And I love Psalms 40. And he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. I had the opportunity on Tuesday to share at our Women's Missionary Union at my new church, First Baptist Church of Dadeville, Alabama. And I got to share without any preparation the mighty work of God, that he is doing wondrous things, because he does in our great time of need. If we're just willing to be still in that miry, thick, muddy clay and just let him lift us up, we can. So I rejoice because he's brought me great comfort. I don't know my future, but God has it all in his hands, and I have comfort and peace because he is my Lord.
Amen.
And I thank you so much again for your ministry. Thank you, brother and sister.
Thank you, Brenda.
Great testimony.
What an awesome testimony. And man, that will encourage lots of people. So thank you for calling in and sharing that, Brenda. And we know the Lord is going to open great doors for you and provide for you. Philippians 4:19 is a great verse to claim, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So praise the Lord for how he's working in you. Well, we have Robin on the line from Virginia. Robin, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you so much. I wanted to be very quick about my comments to allow other people, but two quick things I wanted to remind you. I was the one that asked for prayer because I was going to donate a kidney, and that was before Christmas, but what happened was God knew better, and I found out I couldn't donate, but there were two people on the same weekend that my mom was actually in the hospital with a situation that the gentleman who was 20 years old waiting for 2 years on the kidney, National Kidney Register, he has a new kidney, and he's doing great. He's finally home.
Good.
But the reason why I'm calling today, yeah, thank you for your prayers that for that situation, because God knew he would probably rather have a younger kidney than a 64-year-old model for me. So And I wanted to say thank you for your compliment to your wonderful wife, because even in this time of being discouraged, it made me smile and laugh that your own sweet husband would say, "You look amazing." You know, it's almost like when we are down in the pit, when we really feel that love and he picks us up, it's an amazing supernatural hug around you that you feel like, and that's very putting it simply. And I know I'm going over time to be quick about my second request, but I wanted to let you know, Pastor Shreve, that is almost like what God does with us when we feel like we're ugly and we're awful and we're down in the pit and we've failed, we've made mistakes. He looks at us with his supernatural love and just says, "I love you. You're my child and you're amazing." And that sense of being picked up at a time when a woman who cuts her hair, it might, you know, you might feel like it looks awful. So I'm so glad. I can't see you guys, obviously, but I'm sure it looks amazing. So my second big request is, in the last 2 or 3 months, I've reconnected with a coworker. She's 10 years older than me, but there was a biopsy part on her ankle, and she's dealing with oncoming Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, but she's sharp as a whip, and she's a believer, and she's down in Florida. And I've been praying with her and talking her to her daily, because we just reconnected, but she's going in for a different procedure because it has not been healing, and it's been painful, and all these different circumstances. And I wanted to ask for prayer today. Her name is Catherine, and if you could pray for her, because they're going to a different doctor for a different procedure, and it's on her ankle and it just won't heal. So I wanted to pray for her today. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you,
my
Robert.
Verse is Matthew 19:26, with God all things are possible.
Amen. Well, let's do that. Debbie, you want to pray for Catherine?
Yes. Lord, we just lift up Catherine to you right now. And Father, we don't know all the details, but you do. You knit her together in her mother's womb. You know every hair that's on her head. And so, Father, we just look to you to lead, to guide, to give wisdom to her doctors and her medical team. And, Father, we just ask you to bring complete healing to her body and to do that in any way that you see fit. And we just trust you with her because you love her more than any of us ever could. And so we just leave this in your capable hands, trusting you with it, with all that we have. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for calling in, Robin. Well, we have David on the line from Texas. David, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to say that no matter how bad it gets, I still got to continue to put my faith in God. And I love the scripture that says, "I'm kept by the power of God in heaven." But thank you, Jeff, and your wife. I have to go.
Okay. Well, thank you, brother. Yeah, 1 Peter chapter 1 says that we are kept by the power of God. He never lets us go. You know, Jesus said in John chapter 10, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. And my Father, who is greater than all, has given them to me, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." So the picture he gives us is we are there in his hand. We are his sheep, and he holds us in his hand. He says, "No one's able to take you out of my hand." And in case that's not good enough for you, then the Father, who is greater than all, he puts his hand over the hand of the Lord Jesus, and you and I are safe and secure in him, and nothing can take us out of his hand. We can't crawl out of his hand, as one theologian tried to say. Well, it doesn't say you can't crawl out. Mm-hmm. Crawford Toy said that, the apostate. Well, you can't get out of there, and he comes into your heart, and he comes in forever. And so confidence that we have. You know, you didn't do anything for your salvation. You just cried out. As the song says, "I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I." And so all we did was cry out to him. He does all the saving. He convicts us. He opens our eyes to truth. Now we have to respond, and we're responsible for responding. But when we cry out, as blind Bartimaeus did, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me," then the Lord does save. He responds. He heals. He forgives. and he changes us from the inside out.
So. Well, and David, if you're still listening, and I hope you are, I just am praying over you today that God will just send across your path a Jesus with skin on to just really minister to you today. I just heard such hurt in your voice, and I just want you to be encouraged today that God does love you, and he has such a great plan for your life, and he's a good God, and he is going to bring good things into your path and in as you continue to just trust in him and walk in him. But there are just days when we just need a hug from somebody, and we just need a human contact to just be merciful to us and exhibit that love for us. And so we're just praying that that'll be a special thing for you today. So be on the lookout for it.
Yeah, and think about this too. So as you and I live our lives, as we go about our day, as we see people in the store, as we see people in church, as we see people at work, see people at school, wherever it might be, there's always somebody that's hurting. You know, you don't have to pass too many people to find somebody who's down in the dumps. And so we can be an encouragement, as Debbie said, we can be that Jesus with skin on to that person and give them a word, give them a touch, give them a look, pray for them. It doesn't have to be long. It can just be something short, but you can encourage somebody else with your love for them. And a great prayer to pray is, Lord, okay, here I am. I offer myself as a living sacrifice, Romans chapter 12, verse 1, and I want you to use my life to make a difference in the life of somebody else. And so how can I encourage that person? Psalm 40, verse 16, one of my favorite verses, let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you, and let those who love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. And so I think about that during the day. Okay, Lord, I'm seeking you. And so I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad in you regardless of the circumstances. And I want people to see that you are great in my life. And so let those who love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. And one way to magnify the Lord in your life is to reach out to another person. You know, we have for our church, what is our mission statement? Loving God, loving people, and sharing the truth of Jesus. That's what we are called to do. So I appreciate you calling in, David. Well, we have time for one more. If you have a question or comment, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And I will post a picture of Debbie's new hairdo.
Oh my goodness.
On Jeff Shreve. On X. We'll do a picture.
Now, X is the new Facebook or what?
No, X is the new Twitter.
Okay, you can obviously tell I'm quite savvy with social media.
You spend a lot of time on X.
Yeah, I can't stand it.
But so our listeners can see you if they'd like to. You can follow me on X at Jeff Shreve, JeffShreve. And if you have a question that you didn't call in about today, but something that's been bothering you or you need prayer, you can email me, PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org, PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Well, Debbie, what would you say to maybe a mom? We talked about moms last week that's really just drowning in diapers and sick kids and all the difficulties associated with raising little ones.
Oh, it is so difficult. And it's difficult because it is not just physically exhausting, it's emotionally exhausting. So the combination of those two things can just really zap you and take a toll on you. And I know this sounds kind of trite, but it's just the truth. And the reality of it is those days of that go by so quickly. Now, when you are in the throes of
it, doesn't feel like
no. When you're in the throes of it, a day is like 1,000 years, truly. But when you're on the other side of it, you look back and you say, okay, those days did go by quickly, and those were some of my best days.
Well, you always say this, the days are long, but the years are short.
Yes, exactly.
And so when you're in it, it feels like
Right.
One day is as a thousand years.
Well, and I think, and I've told my middle daughter this, well, I say mine like she's not yours, our middle daughter this, just recently. It's like, you know, make your goals for the day appropriate for the day. So if your goal today is, you know what, I am just going to have 30 minutes of time where I read with my kids, as opposed to, I've got to get all this laundry done, I've got to clean the house, I've got to vacuum, I've got to, you know, make realistic goals that are child focused, and you will find yourself feeling a lot more successful.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I told you that my New Year's goal, I've been keeping it, was to stay under 300 pounds.
You have done really well with that.
I'm at 204.
Exactly.
So I'm doing well. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here along with Debbie. Hey, go out today and make a difference in the life of somebody else as you look to the Lord, as you keep your eyes on Him, as you shine and as you share, and as you tell people that you meet that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.